Hi, I'm Avi Wolfman Arendt, and this is a Studio 2 Extra. Baseball is too slow, too boring, too hard to understand or play. Ruben Amaro Jr. knows the critiques, and he's got a plan to get people buzzing about the game he loves, or at least picking up the bat again. The son and grandson of pro ball players, Amaro Jr. played 5 seasons with the Phillies before becoming the team's general manager, and he's still one of the team's broadcasters. But his side hustle is a new sport called slugball, a condensed version of baseball that he cooked up with his brother and some friends. In slugball, teams of four practice the art of hitting by batting the ball down the side or up the middle in a series of timed rounds. No running bases, no fielding, and ideally, lots of action. So, could it be a hit? Ruben Amaro Jr. joined me in our Philadelphia studio to talk about where he saw an opening for people of all ages to enjoy the best part of America's pastime.
Nowadays, you have pickleball, you have top golf, you have these iterations of these other sports, but there was nothing like baseball to do. No one's going to grab...
I feel like traditionally it was slow pitch softball. That was the one that people did.
They play a little softball, they'll go to the batting cage.
Yep.
Rarely do you go ahead and get 18 of your buddies and go play a pickup game, you know, at the local, you know.
You have to belong to a league, typically. It's not a spontaneous thing at all.
It's just a lot of machination. A lot of things have to happen for you to be able to make that happen. So we started thinking about an idea of, hey, what is the iteration of baseball that we could do and have people get together with their friends, have a competition, have some fun, grab a beer, have a hot dog, and play baseball. What's the most fun thing to do in baseball? It's to hit and to swing a bat and to make contact. And so, you know, the actual art of trying to hit the baseball in certain areas of the ballpark, we thought was like a cool thing and a good challenging thing that is possible for anybody to do.
Yeah.
Basically, we can have each game last about 25 to 30 minutes. It's a competition. It's 4-on-4. You know, in a tournament style play, and then you see if you win, and you can win cash prizes. But it's also, I think, more than anything else, you get a chance to just go have fun hanging out playing baseball.
Yeah. I'm curious about the name slugball, because it almost feels like a little bit of a wink and a joke, because you guys are emphasizing the opposite of what a slugger does.
Right.
It's more small ball than slug ball. So how did you end up with slug ball?
Yeah, we had a couple of different ideas that we kind of tossed around, but we just felt like this was the catchiest sort of name to utilize. You're right about that, because we're not just slugging it, right?
Yeah.
You have to sort of hit it hard. You can't just sort of roll the ball through the infield. You have to impact the baseball. And so that's part of it. But you're right. I mean, we're not slugging it, but we felt like that was sort of the catchiest name and something we could really build our franchise around.
So the game has a timed element. So that's different than Major League Baseball. And there are different rounds where you're trying to hit it to different parts of the field. And you accumulate points based on whether or not you achieve that goal, right?
Correct. So basically, you have 30 seconds or 8 swings maximum to accumulate as many points as you possibly can. You'll start off on the pull side, and then you do it to the middle of the field, to the opposite field 3. And then there's a final one where you have to basically, in those 8 swings, go pull, middle, opposite.
Do them all.
So, and you have to do them in succession, and you can't go to the next one. So it's a little bit more difficult process.
And you want to keep some suspense there.
Give right.
The possibility of a comeback.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so you bought up Topgolf, you've bought up pickleball. It does seem like there's a hunger right now for these gamified, condensed versions of bigger sports. What's happening in society that's creating that demand?
I think, number one, our attention span's shrinking.
Sure.
I mean, we pick up our cell phones, and nowadays you see kids watching a TV on an iPad and on YouTube with their phone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many, the attention span, it's so tiny. And I just feel like that's just the way things are these days.
And this is a problem for traditional baseball. There's no doubt about it.
I think so. Right? And I think actually one of the reasons why, and I think it was a brilliant idea, I think this is the best, you know, rule change that happened, was the pitch count.
Yep. This is in Major League Baseball
and minor league baseball, is that they sort of condense the time in between pitches.
That's about meeting people where they are today, basically.
No question about it. And, you know, I'm an old school head. You know, I'm one of those guys. But if you really want people to enjoy the game and watch the game, then you got to get things to happen. Action. Get that pitcher on the mound. Get him to throw. Hopefully he doesn't throw as hard as he possibly can, so it's not just a strikeout or a walk.
Yep.
Or a home run.
Yep.
And that's sort of the idea behind slug ball, is to try to create this like constant action of things actually happening, because the pitcher's got to fire within the 30 seconds and make sure that guy gets enough pitches to be able to accumulate his points. Yep. I mean, people want instant gratification, and people want to have things happen quickly, and that's how it is.
You are a baseball lifer, if ever there was one. You love the game of baseball. Right. So what's interesting about slug ball to me is that a lot of what encompasses slug ball points to some structural challenges and some issues that baseball has to overcome. There has to be a part of you that appreciates the slow, methodical pace of the game and the strategy and the way that there isn't a clock. You know, people rhapsodize about these things who love baseball, and you are one of those people. Yet you're creating a version of it that kind of gets at some of the critiques of the game.
Right. No, there's no question about it. But I do think, to me, it's about getting people engaged in baseball again. It's a great game. It's a phenomenal game. There's pieces of the game that are obviously more challenging and more exciting to watch. And hitting happens to be that one, right? And that particular part of the game is something that was so important to me as a player, and something I still marvel at. Like, the guys that actually do it consistently, first of all, they're the best players. They are the most winning players. And it's also like a really cool skill set to watch people actually do.
Yeah, it's like,
because
it's
hitting's
like,
so damn hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so hard.
It is like if you watch a tape of Tony Gwynn hitting, it's not unlike, for some people, staring at a Picasso or going to a great film. Like, there is just something inherently beautiful about it. So you see this as a way to bring that back, get people playing again, and then, you know, maybe draw them back into the sport or keep them with the sport that they might have abandoned after age 18.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that there's a way to present baseball such that people can get excited about it again. What I see more and more of now is, especially right now in today's baseball game, you can out-baseball more talented teams.
Yeah.
So you have teams that may not have the payroll of a Los Angeles Dodgers or a Philadelphia Phillies, but you might be able to compete with them really well if you play baseball the proper way, and you might be able to beat them. And I think that that's the cool part of this whole concept.
Yeah, well, I mean, stylistic diversity is something that, like, the NBA is struggling with teams playing this all the same way. And whether or not wins or losses come out of it, I do think, as a product, as a business product, people like to see teams try to win in different ways instead of everyone conforming to the same style of play.
Well, in 2019, I became an assistant, special assistant to the GM with the Mets. And one of my duties was to scout the National League and to do some advanced scouting. And it had gotten to the point where, on a couple of occasions, I would be watching a baseball game and the ball would not be put in play for an hour. Three straight innings of either a walk or a strikeout. And I'm sort of looking around to people and going, okay, that person's on their phone, that person's on their iPad, that person's not even watching the game because there's no action on the field, because there's no contact. And that's not baseball to me.
Yeah.
And so that's why when, you know, this idea started sort of percolating.
It spoke to your baseball soul.
Yeah, it went right to my soul.
Right now, as I understand it, you're like in the demonstration phase, you're in the media junket phase. When you get out of that phase, what is that longer-term vision of, like, how you would access slug ball?
Yeah, I think we're trying to scale it intelligently and try to go slow. Right now, we're trying to create an experience in a professional ballpark. And in this case, right now, in the early part, is basically doing it at minor league stadiums. And we're hoping that people sort of catch on and go, hey, let's go play. We can beat these guys. I think that there's another, you know, and sort of create these teams that they may end up traveling. They could make some money and get, who knows, for most people, hundreds of thousands of people who wanted to play baseball as kids, their lives basically stop at high school.
Yep.
And so from that point on, where do you go and where do you compete and what do you do about baseball other than watching, you know, your favorite team on TV?
Before I let you go, of everyone that you played with, who do you think would be the best at slugball?
Ooh, that's a great question. One of the best handlers of the bat that I've been around, and he was an important player to us, was sort of the under-the-radar player, was a guy named Placido Polanco.
Oh, yeah.
Every at-bat meant something to him, and every situation meant something to him, and he could execute. And I loved players who had the ability to do that. Pete Rose was excellent. Obviously, great, great hitter, could handle the bat. I mean, the best hitter I've ever seen as far as being able to handle the bat was Tony Gwynn. Wade Boggs was somebody that was super, super impressive. Like, there's so many of them off the top of my head. But
I like Placido Polanco.
Placido Polanco was as good a situational hitter and heady player as anybody I'd been around.
Yeah, no, I would not have thought of that one. I was trying to think back to like the early 90s, mid-90s Phillies team. I liked Doug Glanville a lot.
Yep.
Of course, also because he's Penn guy. And
of course.
Local roots. So, you know,
a little bit of homerism
there.
And a great person.
I mean, look, you still work with John Kruk. I mean,
Krucky was a great, very, very, I mean, he could put his barrel on a bullet and very intelligent. I mean, he plays dumb,
yeah,
but he's probably one of the more intelligent players. And Lenny Dykstra was a tremendous, very, very heady player. So there's a whole different world for some of these guys when they see the game differently. And, you know, you talk about Pete Rose and Lenny Dykstra and those guys, they see the game in a whole different way.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Well, Ruben Amaro Jr., thank you so much for the time and best of luck with Slugball.
Thanks, Avi.
That was Ruben Amaro Jr., former Phillies player and general manager and co-creator of Slugball. Studio 2 is produced by Paige Marie Bessler, Andreas Copes, and Debbie Builder. Our engineer for this podcast episode was Diana Martinez. Our executive producer is Kevin McCory. From Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, and thanks so much for joining me.